Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
When we began the year 2021, we said that it could end up like a domino falling. We gave you a strategy in January how to not make sure that this does not happen to you. We began by saying, live with zeal. We followed that up in February with a message entitled, Live with Wisdom, a series of messages on wisdom, because zeal without wisdom can be dangerous. And then in March, we gave you a series of messages on living in the kingdom. And finally, in this month of April, we began a series on the Holy Spirit, explaining that the Holy Spirit is about, the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We started with a message called Irresistible, Infinite, and Intimate, a message on the person of the Holy Spirit. We followed that up last week with a message entitled Finding Your Second Wind, which is a message about His presence. Today, we end the series of messages on the Holy Spirit talking about power on demand. The title of this message is Power on Demand. The idea behind this message is that the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, is available to you whenever you need it, anytime, anywhere, all the time. The beginning text I have is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but of the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. Now, notice where it says God will never, and that's important to understand. If you ever feel fear, that's not from God. It's time for you to tap into the Holy Spirit, because God will only give you His very Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, the power of God, love, and self-control. That word self-control is actually a little bit tricky, because that's the Greek word sophronismos, which literally means sound mind. A mind that is able to control itself will be able to control the rest of its body. Self-control, therefore, is actually having a sound mind. When you think of these three facets of power, love, and sound mind, a good Old Testament story to remember is the story of Joseph. Joseph, more appropriately, Joseph the dreamer, the son of Jacob. His was a story of double irony. He was the father's favorite, and yet in the midst of that, he ends up in a pit. More than that, the next stage was a prison, and finally he ends up in the palace, which is the double irony. Now, it's interesting what happens to this man. We look at his story beginning at the palace in retrospect to the previous things that happened to the pit in the prison. Now, we want to look at starting in Genesis 41, verse 1. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, and when out of the Nile there came 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. Notice where it says, after them, 7 other cows, this time ugly and gaunt, came out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. Interesting story. Now, the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows, and then Pharaoh woke up. Here's a picture of what happened. The disturbing picture of these beautiful cows being eaten up by these ugly cows. The following night, Pharaoh has another dream. This time, it's about stalks, and he sees these beautiful stalks of wheat, and then there's this ugly dying stalks, and like, once again, these things were eaten up by the healthier ones were eaten up by the weaker ones. And thus, Pharaoh wakes up the following morning, and his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and all the wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Think about this. Your greatest cabinet, your smartest folks, your PhD holders couldn't figure out what the problem was. And the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I'm reminded of my shortcomings." The cupbearer is the guy who tests all the drinks and the food of Pharaoh just in case he might get poisoned or get assassinated or whatever. And he was once upon a time thrown in prison by no less than Pharaoh himself. Inside the prison, he encounters Joseph. He recounts the story in verse 12 where he says, "Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I've heard that it was you that when you hear it, that he said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it.'" Notice where it says in verse 16, "I cannot do it," Joseph said to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer to his desires, that he desires, rather." There we find Joseph standing in front of the king himself. Not only does he interpret the dream correctly, where he says these seven cows and seven beautiful sheaves and fat cows are actually 7 years of plenty, and the seven ugly cows and dying sheaves are actually 7 years of famine that's about to come in the land. Now, more than just interpreting the dream, Joseph actually gives him a plan. As a result, Pharaoh in verse 37 says, "The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials." He said, so Pharaoh asked him, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom the Spirit of God resides?" There you go. What we see here is Pharaoh seeing before his very eyes the power of God, the love of God to protect them, and finally, the soundness of mind or the wisdom to be able to execute this plan. Verse 39 says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace and all my people, and to submit to your orders." And all my people are to submit to your orders, rather. "Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." Now, for many of us, it's really a shock that throughout the history of the United States of America, there once upon time came a time and a moment where there was a colored president, a black president, Barack Obama. Now, sometimes that's unthinkable when you start imagining how racism is so prevalent in that nation. And yet, it happened. Now, the story of Joseph is even more preposterous. This is an ex-convict ending up to become president of the country. The story of Joseph is interesting. We've got a man who's favored by his father. At the same time, he ends up in a pit. The pit is a symbol of life in reality. We will all find ourselves in some kind of pit. A pit is a place of rejection. When you find yourself in a pit or a place of rejection, what will you need? The power of God, the love of God, and the soundness of mind. Notice where it says in Romans 8:14, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." When you are led by the Spirit of God, no one can reject you, because you know that while the people are rejecting you, I am a child of God. Further, it says, "The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather," it says, "you have the Spirit you received allows you to be adopted as a son of God, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. You have been brought about with adoption. Someone may have rejected you, but God adopts you as his very own son. No one can reject you, therefore, because you have the power of God, the love of God, and the soundness of mind to understand that God has adopted you." The pit is also the place of loss. The case of Joseph, he lost his ascendancy and his favored position with his father. And sometimes that's what happens in life. We lose things, we lose relationships, we lose jobs, we lose prospects. But God has a way of restoring that. In verse 16, he says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Testimony that we are God's children is an important thing to understand, and the Holy Spirit testifies that to us. Why? Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. We are people who have an inheritance in God, heirs of God, and co-heirs in Christ. In other words, no one can steal our future, though we may stumble for a moment to have loss. In fact, this verse says, "If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." There may be a moment of suffering. There may be a season of COVID, but there is a time when the inheritance of God will be brought back to us. The key, therefore, in the pit, whether rejection or loss, is the power of God, the love of God, and the soundness of our minds. And finally, in the pit, we will find uncertainty. That's what happened to Joseph. There was no certainty whether he was going to get out or what was going to happen to him. And yet, in the midst of that, he finds, in Romans 8:22, the truth of the power of the Spirit of God in him. "We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to that present time." Notice where it says, "we know." When we know that our lives is like a childbirth, then we realize that there is a prospect. There might be uncertainty. The picture of a childbirth is something that's uncertain, something that we're not sure is going to happen. And yet, in the midst of that, it might be the most inconvenient, the most laborious, the most painful. It is, by all intents and purposes, also the most fulfilling, the most life-giving, and the way the future is birthed. When we understand the perspective of God, we may find ourselves in the pit. While we find rejection and loss and uncertainty, we're certain that we have God's power, God's love, and soundness of mind. To wait for that moment when God rebirths our future in the midst of this temporary moment in the pit. Further, we find in 39 verse 1, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. He's taken out of the pit, brought to Egypt by slave traders, and was given to, or sold rather, to Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of the Pharaoh's officials. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of this Egyptian master. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. Now, this is an interesting part of the story. Here's a guy that goes into the pit and gets traded off and lands in a nation where he has no relatives, no friends, no connections, no pedigree, nothing whatsoever, no skill set, and ends up at the top of the heap. He's promoted. And that's an interesting part of Joseph's story. But in the midst of that, Joseph was living there successful. It says in verse 39, verse 6, that Joseph was well-built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife started to take notice of him and wanted to come to bed with him. In short, he was being seduced by this woman, even though he wasn't willing to partake of it. A prison is more something like a kind of success as well. Sometimes our successes can be a prison and a trap for us. What do you need when you find yourself in this position? The same thing, power of God, the understanding of the love of God, and the soundness of mind not to fall for the tricks of the enemy. Now, what happens next is crazy. This woman actually frames him up and says, he tried to take advantage of me. And as a result, the master of Potiphar got mad. He heard his wife's story, and this is how Eustavus treated me, and he burned with anger. What he did was he took Joseph and put him in the prison. Notice where it says he took Joseph and put him in the prison, but it's interesting where it says he placed him where the king's prisoners were confined. It was almost like Potiphar knew something was flaky about his wife. But nonetheless, Joseph now ends up in prison. And when you find yourself in prison, you also find yourself in a place of accusation and injustice. What do you do when someone accuses you unjustly and you pay the price for it? You need the power of God. You need the love of God, and you need the soundness of mind to stay the course. Romans chapter 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I mentioned this verse last week, this idea of the Spirit interceding for us through wordless groans. I don't know if you understand this. A groan is wordless. There's no word coming out. But the groan is an internal voice that comes deep down inside of us because of pain. When somebody punches you, you groan. When something is so frustrating, you end up groaning. It's a kind of voice that goes up to God that acknowledges, God, I'm in burden, I'm in pain, and yet I'm willing to trust you. Groaning is one of those things that we need to learn in the midst of our prison. It says in verse 26, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit helps us with these groans that acknowledge the pain and the frustration and the level of impatience that's coming into our lives. And yet in the midst of that, one of my favorite verses in the Bible comes next, because we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. When we have that in our hearts, the power of God, that God knows what's happening and that in all things He's working everything for our good because He loves us and we love Him. And He has a purpose for all of this that is operating in a place that we fully don't understand just yet. Why? Because we're in prison. In the prison, we find confusion, where we're wondering, why am I here? I don't even deserve to be here. There's things in our minds that are like pieces in a puzzle that can't quite yet be fixed. And we're wondering, what's next? What's going to happen to me? When things like this happen to us, it's good to remember Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. These are two of my favorite verses, the previous one and this one. The depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. God's wisdom and knowledge is so deep that sometimes it's hard to understand. It becomes confusing. which is why we need to trust His power, His love, and have a sound mind and self-control. He says how unsearchable His judgments and His paths are beyond tracing out. When you find yourself in a prison and you find yourself confused, keep in mind that God is orchestrating things on the sidelines. He's probably fixing and aligning the weather so that the famine and the prosperity time will come. He knows exactly when that's going to happen. He's orchestrating things in the house of Pharaoh and his court, setting up the Pharaoh's dreams and setting up the cupbearer. And he does that probably for Potiphar. He's probably helping your family align Jacob and his brothers to be prepared for that moment. And most of all, he's probably preparing you, training you, giving you knowledge, exposing you in Potiphar's house so you can see what it's like to be under a general or to become the governor of a general. He's probably putting you in prison to show you and exposing you to lessons that you otherwise would not want to learn because you don't want to be in that position. Many times we want God to fix the problem, not realizing that these divine delays are His way of setting us up for the right thing. The cupbearer remembers the story. A cupbearer, by the way, is an important position in the ancient courts of kings. He tested the food to make sure that all was well. It wasn't just about assassination. It was even if there were toxins in the food. And one day, he ended up in prison. And now, all of a sudden, by God's divine ordinance, he remembers. And within 3 days, he was explaining to Pharaoh what happened to him and how Joseph interpreted the dream. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand once again, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, Jesus Joseph pleading, remember me and show kindness to me and mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I haven't done anything to deserve this, but here I am in the dungeon. Fortunately, in verse 43, the cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. What happens when we find ourselves in prison? Accusation, injustice, confusion, and discouragement. And when that happens, you know what you need? The power of God, the love of God, the soundness of mind to control yourself, to wait because God is orchestrating things and bringing things about for you. Finally, the story continues in chapter 41, verse 1. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, which we started with this story earlier. And so Pharaoh sent for Joseph. And notice where it says, he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When times are ready, when God has prepared you in the pit or in the prison, when He's learned to see that you are waiting to be patient in the midst of the accusation and the injustice, or the timing figures that doesn't work out, or there's confusion, and yet in the midst of that, you chose to believe in His power, His love, and kept your mind sound, quickly you will get to the palace. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. The palace is another place, a place of success. You know what you're going to need when you have success? The power of God, the love of God, and the soundness of mind. When we have success, the pieces fit together. All the puzzle is now together, and we know we are now in a good position. And sometimes when we don't understand the fullness of the extent of the power of God, we begin to trust in our own success and we say, I deserve this. Do you know what I did to get here? And when you start behaving this way, we probably will make a misstep in our lives. The reason why God delays these things sometimes is to forge the character so that when we get to that place of the palace and success, we will understand we got there because of the power, the love, and the soundness of mind that is given to us by no less than the Spirit of God. In the palace, we find the power of God, and the power of God also our own power. Joseph this time had not just success, but power, the power to turn things down, the power to abuse people. He could have taken revenge with his brothers. He could have taken advantage of his position, where power can be misused, or more than anything else, people abuse or misuse power. Some people use it just to amuse themselves. But Joseph had to learn something very different. Genesis 45 verse 4 says, then Joseph said to his brothers had arrived. And more than just giving them revenge and getting angry, he says, come close to me. One of the most dramatic moments. By the way, if you haven't read the story of Joseph, It's one of the longest chapters or series of chapters in the book of Genesis. 14 chapters to be exact. Very interesting. I'm giving you a synopsis of it. Might be good for you to read it when you come home. Come close to me, he says, one of the most dramatic and poignant moments of the story. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives. There is the puzzle piece that comes together, knowing that the big pieces come together when God is ready. Because it was to save lives that God sent me here ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you to be a remnant on the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. The purpose of why I'm in the palace, why I have this success, and why I have this power is not just for me. It's to be a blessing to you, and not just to you, but for the rest of the earth. Now, notice where it says success, power in the palace is also the place where Joseph gets his wholeness. Finally settling all the issues and the bitterness of the past, only to be remedied by the power of God, the love of God, and the soundness of mind of God. Let me summarize this message. The pit is the place where we find rejection, we find loss, and uncertainty. All of us will find a pit in our lives. There will be days and there will be a prison in our lives, a place where we're accused unjustly, where there's confusion or even discouragement. And there will also be a palace, a place of success, a place of power, and a place of wholeness. But the key to all of these is the same: the power of God, the love of God, and a sound mind. When we have these, we will have the completeness of the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives to fulfill our destiny in 2021 or beyond. I want to take this moment to proclaim Jesus, our Savior and our God. If you can find for yourselves a bread and a cup as we proclaim Him today. Lord Jesus, thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you and through you we have power, love, and sound mind. We find ourselves when we find ourselves rejected in a time of loss or uncertainty, in the times when we encounter injustice, confusion, and discouragement, we look to you, Holy Spirit, O God. And when we find success, power, and attainment, make us default back to your power, love, and sound mind to make us whole. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.